Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the February-March issue of Audiophile magazine. On today's program, you'll hear our feature, Five Questions for Dion Graham, and a review of Roland Marullo's novel, American Savior, a novel of divine politics. It's an Earphones winner read by Dion Graham. After that, we'll have an assortment of reviews in fiction, including a review of Dark Tides, Fair Mile, Book 2 by Philippa Gregory. It's an Earphones winner read by Louise Brealey. Let's get right to it. Five questions with narrator Dion Graham, and this interview was conducted by Candace Levy. Narrator Dion Graham is a multi-Audi Award winner and a TV, silver screen, and stage actor. Dion's impressive voice acting talent has also earned him a spot on Audiophile's prestigious list of Golden Voice narrators. But wait, there's more! He has won numerous Audiophile Earphones Awards and an Odyssey Award, as well as inclusion on Audiophile's Best Audiobooks of the Year lists for 7 years running. Audiobook lovers agree that Dion's performances create an immersive listening experience, no matter the genre or target audience. He brings excitement and wonder, fear and frustration to stories geared to young listeners. For mysteries, Dion underscores the tension through tone and pacing. In all cases, his masterful character portrayals are both believable and respectful of the author's work. Here are five audiobooks that highlight Dion's many talents. Five audiobooks. I can't talk about Dion's work without featuring his extraordinary connection to author Nick Stone's novels for teen readers. I especially recommend Dear Martin and Dear Justice, epistolary novels that explore the tough realities of being a black teenager in today's America. Dion captures teenage cadences and attitudes as well as the boys' deeper emotional turmoil as they look for hope in a society that pigeonholes them and offers limited opportunities. Dion's impressive ability to create unique and consistent characterizations shines in Ishmael Bia's Little Family, about five kids who find a way to survive homeless on the fringes of an African city. When the children start doing jobs for a crime boss, they begin to make money, but at what cost? Dion underscores the characters' personalities, giving them individual voices and believable accents, making listeners forget that the audiobook is read by a single narrator. Black Leopard, Red Wolf by Marlon James, the first in an epic fantasy trilogy, is set in an alternate Africa, giving Dion a chance to flex his accent muscles and even use his singing voice. Tracker, a man with an inhuman sense of smell, is tasked with finding a missing child. Along the way, he meets up with a shapeshifter, a giant witch, vampires, slavers, warriors, and more. Dion brings each one to life, drawing us deep into the dangerous and fantastical world of this quest story. Mystery lovers are probably already familiar with the super pairing of Dion with author Walter Mosley. Most recently, Dion performed Trouble Is What I Do, the latest entry in the Leonid McGill series, starring a New York City boxer turned private investigator. In this installment, McGill helps out an elderly black Mississippi blues man who knows the deep family secrets of a rich white man. Dion excels at the necessary regional dialects and accentuates the differences between the characters' socioeconomic statuses, genders, and ages, all without, as our reviewer noted, resorting to stereotypes. Dion's broad range of characterizations and styles takes center stage in John Edgar Widman's American Histories, a collection of stories and essays that blurs the line between fact and fiction and explores a variety of stark truths about the U.S. Black experience. Five questions. Whether you pick one of my recommendations or a totally different audiobook performed by Dion Graham, you're in for a real treat. Audiophile asks, tell us something surprising about yourself. Dion Graham, I have performed at London's Royal National Theatre. Just before I began doing audiobooks, I was in London for 6 months doing the world premiere of Tennessee Williams's Lost, Then Found by Renessa Redgrave, Not About Nightingales, directed by the great Trevor Nunn. It was a rare treat. Few American actors get that opportunity. Special. After a fantastic run there, we came to Broadway, where we reopened Circle in the Square Theater. So many great times and special memories. Audiophile. What are you doing when you're not working? Dion Graham. Besides being a daddy to two delicious humans, which I relish and they know it, I love being out in beautiful nature. Yes, I heart New York. Being in nature is certainly where I feel most at one with the universe, though. I have lots of interests, but hiking soothes my soul. Have boots, and maybe Gore-Tex and a bug spray. We'll travel. Who's coming with? Audiophile. What are the pros and cons of recording a series? Dion Graham. I don't know if there are really any cons to doing a series. Challenges? Sure. Maintaining consistency with characters across the series is probably the biggest. Going a step further, I think it's great to allow the characters to grow, to keep on discovering them. So that's a pro. Series are opportunities to have a continuing journey with old friends, and you get to be them too. It's great to jump into the alley, car, plane, time machine for some fantastic new trips with buds. I'm looking at you, Gravedigger and Coffin Ed, Easy and Mr. Tibbs, Gideon, Dak, Sarah, and Rick. Audiophile. When reading for pleasure, do you find yourself creating voices and thinking about pacing and emphasis? Dion Graham. Ha! Reading for pleasure? You mean not under deadline? Sometimes it's like that, though for me it's more about hearing voices. The nature of what we do does make me sensitive to how a story is unfolding and what the author seems to be getting at. Or maybe that's how I read, how I get immersed in a story, too. It is funny to catch yourself and go, hello, you're not narrating this one. Now, if I can just get to reading the last book in the Three Body Problem trilogy. Audiophile. Is it difficult to avoid foreshadowing, especially when recording a book with a twist? Dion Graham. I don't think about that too much. Sometimes there's plenty of foreshadowing written in, and then I think it's important to deal with it one way or another. That doesn't mean that all the cards get played at once, but for instance, when a book begins, the child is dead, there is nothing left to know. You can be sure there's plenty left to know. It's all in the telling. And that concludes our five questions with Dion Graham. A review of his American Savior, a novel of divine politics, is an Earphones winner. And as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Here's a review of American Savior, a novel of divine politics by Roland Marullo, an Earphones winner, read by Dion Graham. What would happen if Jesus' second coming occurred in America and he believes the best way to initiate a religious rebirth is with a run for president? Dion Graham's narration of this fantastic story of the Messiah's run for the White House shifts from humorous to biting with ease. TV reporter Russ Thomas follows reports of a mysterious stranger who heals a boy who's fallen from a fire escape, described by Graham with a tone of skepticism. Graham includes a sense of wonder when Jesus offers Thomas and his girlfriend Zelda jobs in his campaign. Graham adds an arched eyebrow to his tone in the more comical scenes and a sense of awe as Jesus takes to the campaign trail. Randy O'Brien wrote that review of American Savior, a novel of divine politics. It's written by Roland Marullo, and it's read by Dion Graham, and it's an Earphones winner. It's available from Post-Hypnotic Press for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. And this is just a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile Magazine's February-March issue. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. All right, now we're going to turn our attention to some reviews in fiction. And our first review today is Midnight Train to Prague by Carol Windley. It's an Earphones winner, read by Kate Redding. Narrator Kate Redding's tone and pacing are perfect for this complex drama spanning the war-torn 20th century. A delayed train journey in 1927 from Berlin to Prague intertwines the lives of Natalia Faber, her unpredictable mother Beatrice, journalist Miklos Andorjan, and Dr. Magdalena Schaefer. The stranded strangers begin friendships that last decades through World War II and its aftermath, withstanding even the cruelest of Nazi atrocities. Redding is a caring, sensitive guide who creates convincing relationships as the stories reveal long-buried secrets. She creates real people among the abundance of characters using believable accents, leading listeners down winding city streets and taking them to country spas, while smoothly navigating characters' vivid, often painful memories. Redding's performance enhances this historical reflection on an era humanity must never forget. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of Midnight Train to Prague. It's written by Carol Windley, read by Kate Redding, and it's an Earphones winner available from Blackstone Audio for 11.5 hours, unabridged. Next we have Missionaries by Phil Clay. It's read by four talented narrators. McLeod Andrews, Cynthia Farrell, Henry Leyva, and Anthony Ray Perez each narrate a unique point of view in a novel that focuses on modern warfare, mostly in Colombia. The first-person perspectives feel like eavesdropping in a confessional. The narrators pull from a deep well of emotion, as no character in this audiobook remains unscathed by the horrors of war. While each narrator brings his or her character to life, it is Farrell who shines as she portrays the lone female character whose story begins in Afghanistan and ends in Colombia, with a few stops along the way. Farrell slips in and out of accents and changes genders so fluidly that one can imagine her narrating the entire book. This audiobook is not for the faint of heart, but fans of historical fiction will love it. Anthony Farina wrote that review of Missionaries by Phil Clay, read by four narrators. It's available from Penguin Audio for 14.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review today in fiction is Dark Tides, Fair Mile, Book 2 by Philippa Gregory. It's an Earphones winner, read by Louise Brealey. Louise Brealey's performance is just one good reason to listen to the second in Philippa Gregory's Fair Mile series. Gregory's unparalleled storytelling is the other. Eleanor's health never recovered after being swum as a witch in the Tidelands in 1648. It's now 1670. Eleanor's close-knit family live peaceful, if hard-working, lives in London. Their quiet is disrupted by two unwelcome visitors. Sir James, who abandoned pregnant Eleanor 21 years earlier, and Livia, the devious alleged widow of Eleanor's son. Briley's delivery is subtle and nuanced, or over the top as needed. She is especially credible portraying Eleanor's brother Ned in America. Her depictions of white settlers and natives are believable, making clear the rising animosities between them and chilling listeners with their struggles during the harsh New England winter. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of Dark Tides, Fair Mile, Book 2 by Philippa Gregory. It's an Earphones winner, read by Louise Briley, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 17.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review today is The Evening and the Morning, Kingsbridge, Book 4 by Ken Follett, read by John Lee. John Lee returns to narrate the long-awaited prequel to the Pillars of the Earth epic series. In 997 CE, Vikings attack a small English fishing village, and a young boat builder named Edgar must strike out to survive elsewhere. With his trademark eloquence, Lee portrays the ambitious Edgar, who finds success through his carpentry skills and develops a growing friendship with the wise monk Brother Aldred. Lee employs a lighter tone and delicate accent for Lady Ragna, a French noblewoman who marries the regional elderman. In an unlikely partnership over the 10-year span of the novel, Ragna supports Edgar's vision and skills in building a bridge that is key to the flourishing of a community that grew to become the city of Kingsbridge. Nancy Campbell wrote that review of The Evening and the Morning, Kingsbridge, Book 4 by Ken Follett. It's read by John Lee, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 24.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in fiction is Sweet Sorrow by David Nichols. It's an Earphones winner, read by Rory Kinnear. This audiobook is an absolute delight. Rory Kinnear's performance is smart, observant, and incredibly funny. Portraying Charlie, a teenage boy who is wrestling with an unstable family, an uncertain future, and an all-consuming love for Fran, the girl of his dreams. Kinnear walks the line between perfect comedy and astute empathy. His comfort with Charlie's awkwardness and his ability to leap headlong into all kinds of lively dialogue make the plot irresistible. Set against the backdrop of a summer stage production of, what else, Romeo and Juliet, the novel is compassionate and charming. Kinnear takes Nichols's clever story and brings it to three-dimensional life. No matter how many characters fill a scene, Kinnear gives each one a distinct spotlight. Indeed, Sweet Sorrow deserves the same attention from listeners. Leslie Fine wrote that review of Sweet Sorrow. It's written by David Nichols. It's an Earphones winner, read by Rory Kinnear. And it's available from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt for 12.75 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is The Silence by Don DeLillo. It's an Earphones winner, read by a full cast. A full cast propels DeLillo's latest audiobook, which portrays our current relationship with technology. At a time in the close future, an unexplained technology disruption occurs, impacting the characters of this work at various levels. An international flight to New York crash lands. The survivors are treated in a clinic that is also affected by the blackout. The Super Bowl broadcast goes dark forcing neighbors to interact, DeLillo reflects on the nature of humanity and who we've become. Maren Ireland's centering narrative anchors the stellar performances. Memorable characters include a gruff sports gambler who is reduced to watching a blank screen, portrayed by J.O. Sanders, and a couple who survived the crash and are left to observe the aftermath, portrayed by Jeremy Bobb and Robin Miles. The collective performances make this story resonate more deeply. Stephen Cummings wrote that review of The Silence by Don DeLillo. It's read by a full cast, it's an earphones winner, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 2 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is When We Were Young and Brave by Hazel Gaynor. It's read by Rosie Jones and Imogen Church. Two narrators deliver this absorbing drama about teachers and students at a British-run missionary school in China at the same time of the Japanese occupation. Their lives move from privilege to privation as the 100-plus children, sons and daughters of missionaries and diplomats, are relocated first to a nearby dilapidated compound and then to the grim Weixian internment camp. Rosie Jones describes the ordeal from the perspective of Nancy, a perceptive and winsome preteen. Her voice, while clearly childlike, resonates with strength and courage. Imogen Church portrays Elspeth Kent, who teaches and comforts while demonstrating an intrepid will to survive. This new World War II story is exceptionally well told. That review by Diana Granger is of When We Were Young and Brave. It's written by Hazel Gaynor, read by Rosie Jones and Imogen Church, and it's available from Harper Audio for 11.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review today is The Office of Historical Corrections by Danielle Evans. It's read by Seven Talented Narrators. Seven Talented Narrators bring the complex protagonists of Evans's short fiction to life. The stories are a dazzling blend of the personal and the universal, a collection of masterfully crafted moments exploring history, guilt, blackness, womanhood, American racism, and trauma. Janina Edwards gives an emotional performance of the titular novella about an historian unraveling a mystery steeped in racism. There's a whisper of playfulness in Nicole Lewis's narration of Richard of York Gave Battle in Vain, about a woman's reckoning with loss on the eve of a friend's wedding. In Anything Could Disappear, Adinreli Ojo captures all the uncertainty of a young woman who unexpectedly becomes a mother. Evans's writing is confident and spare, and each narrator amplifies the power of the prose in her own particular way. Laura Sacton wrote that review of The Office of Historical Corrections by Danielle Evans. It's read by Seven Talented Narrators, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 7.25 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Caretaker by Dune Arbus, read by Alan Cumming. Alan Cumming is a natural fit for the meticulous narrative of Dune Arbus. His voice matches the erudite cerebral drama perfectly. Listeners are eased into the world of philosopher Charles Morgan, author of a book entitled Stuff, who dies and leaves behind a museum of his many collected items. The board hires an eccentric caretaker who presides over the museum and its visitors with increasingly concerning behavior, which culminates in the incident. Cumming does not disappoint. Listeners may find themselves lost among the museum's artifacts, but Cumming embodies the spirit of the caretaker and centers us with his unfailing confidence. matching the energy of the story, Cumming gives another stellar performance. Stephen Cummings wrote that review of The Caretaker by Dune Arbus, read by Alan Cumming. It's available from Blackstone Audio for 4.5 hours of unabridged listening. Continuing now in fiction, we have Shuggie Bane by Douglas Stewart, read by Angus King. Scotsman Angus King is a natural choice to narrate this chronicle of Hugh Shuggie Bane, a boy growing up in 1980s Glasgow. King's thick Scottish accent is evocative of the setting, and his vivid characterizations, both male and female characters of all ages, aid with differentiation of their colorful personalities. Narrating with both whimsy and gravitas, King captures Shuggie's rough life, sensitively depicting his gentle nature as well as his struggles with his beleaguered alcoholic mother, Agnes, as she sinks further into addiction. King's relaxed pacing fosters the progression of the story while acclimating listeners' ears to his Scottish accent. Sarah Grimm wrote that review of Shuggie Bane by Douglas Stewart, read by Angus King. It's available from Dreamscape for 17.5 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll finish our reviews in fiction. And then we have an interview with narrator Mary Jane Wells and a review of her narration of The Duke Who Didn't, Wedgford Trials, Book 1 by Courtney Milan, an Earphones winner read by Mary Jane Wells. We'll follow that with Caitlin Augusta's preview, tease, and reviews in romance, including a review of Earphones winner The Roommate by Rosie Danin, read by Brittany Presley and Teddy Hamilton. So until next time, thanks for listening.